There was a traveler driving along a very busy boulevard. And as he traveled this boulevard, he was being tailgated by a woman who apparently was in a great hurry. Well, as he approached a certain intersection, the light turned yellow. And he properly interpreted the light to mean stop if it's safe and you can, rather than beat the red light and accelerate through it. Well, as he stopped at the intersection, the lady behind him, who was tailgating in an incredible hurry, became just irate. She started honking her horn and waving her hands and yelling. And as she slammed on her brakes, her cell phone and makeup went flying around her car. Well, as she sat there looking for the makeup and cell phone, while still in mid-rant, she was taken a little by surprise when there was a tap on her car door window. And she looked up to be staring into the face of a very serious-looking police officer. The police officer asked her to exit the vehicle with her hands up, and he then transported her to the local police station where she was fingerprinted, where she was photographed, where she went through all the booking procedures for someone who was being taken into custody for having done something wrong. A couple of hours later, while she was in a holding cell, another police officer came and escorted her back to the booking station, the booking desk, where the original arresting officer was standing. And he looked at her and he simply said to her, he said, "I apologize for this mistake." He said, "As I pulled up behind you, I saw you screaming, and I heard the words that you were using, and I heard you cussing a blue streak up one side and down the other. I saw you flipping the gentleman off in front of you, and I saw these antics. And as I looked around, I noticed on the back bumper of your car a bumper sticker that read, 'What would Jesus do?'" And when I read that bumper sticker, I just assumed you had stolen the car. Have you ever heard a story about someone who says one thing or portrays one thing and then does something completely different? You know, like maybe somebody who says they believe in God, but then they live like they don't? Jesus would undo this kind of an approach to life. He would undo people living in a way that's different than what they state or portray they believe. How many of you would say that you're put off by people who say one thing and do another? Well, if you do say that, you're not alone. In fact, this double life kind of thing is one of the most common reasons given by people who are disconnected from church. They say that people who live this double life put them off so much, not just about church, but that puts them off about right relationship with God. And Jesus isn't a fan of this kind of an approach to life. In fact, the people who are put off by it, they don't usually use the phrase double life. Instead, they use the same word Jesus used, and it's the word hypocrites. Jesus reserved some of his harshest words for the hypocrites of his day, the people who wanted to appear on the outside that they were all connected to God in right relationship, but on the inside, their hearts were anything but connected in right relationship with God. When Jesus addressed this double life approach, he used a Greek word that's known as hypocrites. And that word was commonly used to reference people who appeared in a play or an actor on a stage. And one of the common things that actors and the way the plays were designed in the first century was it would require actors to wear a mask. And so actors would portray a character, they would pretend to be someone that they really weren't, all the while hiding behind a mask. And so the word hypocrites became known to refer to people who hid behind a mask. This double life approach, this hypocrisy issue, was an ongoing point of contention between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders. They held lively debates back and forth about Jesus' perception of the hypocrisy in their lives, of their living behind a mask and pretending to be people that they weren't. One of Jesus' early followers, a guy by the name of Matthew, who wrote one of the four accounts of Jesus' life, he records a time when Jesus gathered a crowd after one of these lively debates, and he addressed this issue of hypocrisy, not so much for the Jewish religious leaders, but to help the crowd understand how to undo a double life approach to relationship with God. And he gathers the crowd together, and Matthew tells us that Jesus tells the crowd, excuse me, so practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. Now, one of the customs in the Jewish belief system was that the priests would gather the people together and they would read the Jewish scripture to them. But as they read the Jewish scripture to them, the priest placed an emphasis on knowing the scripture more than doing the scripture. Now, sometimes they place more of an emphasis of everybody else doing it and them knowing it, but the reality is knowing preceded doing. They said that there would come a time where you would have to do it, but the most important thing in the here and now was to just know what it says. And then they would go out and live according to whatever benefited them most. And Jesus had a problem with this. Jesus was opposed to people who don't put into practice what they teach. He was opposed to people who don't put into practice what they say they believe and who they say they are. And so Jesus said very clearly to the crowd gathered there, what they're telling you is good. And so put into practice what they tell you according to the Jewish scripture. Live the way that God wants you to live, but don't follow their example because they don't do what they tell you is expected to be done. And then Jesus goes on to drill down into this a little bit more. He says, they, meaning the Jewish religious leaders, crush people with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. One of the roles that the Jewish religious leaders assumed and took on for themselves as they read the Jewish scripture to people was to clarify and interpret what the Jewish scripture meant. Well, as they clarified and interpreted what the Jewish scripture meant, they also added layer upon layer of expectation. So many layers of expectation that their interpretation of the Jewish law became oppressive, cumbersome, and burdensome. It was impossible for anyone to do all the things that the Jewish religious leaders communicated as expectations. And the Jewish religious leaders didn't do anything to help. They didn't do anything to ease the burden of the restrictions or the expectations that they clarified when they read the Jewish law. And the other thing is that they didn't live it themselves. They ruthlessly made life challenging for other people in an effort to make life easier for themselves. They would take the expectations that they communicated to everyone else and they would manipulate them and they would leverage them to make life easier for them. Jesus says this isn't the way that life is supposed to be approached. This isn't the way that people are supposed to live. He says it may be the way the Jewish religious leaders choose to live, but to the crowd that's gathered there, who has just heard this lively debate between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders, he says that's not the way you're supposed to live. There's a better approach to life than a double life kind of approach. There's a better way to approach life than saying you're one thing and then living as if you're something else. And Jesus goes on to clarify this and point the finger right at the Jewish religious leaders. He says everything they do is for show. He says whatever it is that they do, it is to draw the attention of people onto themselves. Everything they do is like an actor who is on stage and wants all the attention drawn on themselves, all of the eyes looking upon them. Only instead of doing it in the form of a fictional play, the Jewish religious leaders did it in real time, in real life, to draw attention to themselves so that people would view them as if they were better than everybody else. They would make sure to wear the right types of clothes so that they would look good to everybody else. But inside, something was out of whack. They would try to arrange the seating at celebrations so that they sat in the place of honor, so that they looked important as they were seated around the table. But inside, something was out of whack. When they would be out in the community, they would love to hear people greet them by their titles so that they sounded important to everyone else and probably felt important within themselves. But inside, something was out of whack. They spent so much time and so much effort on making sure that the outward appearance looked as if it was connected to God, that they neglected the condition of their hearts, which became very disconnected from God. They became hypocrites. They embraced the very kind of life that Jesus warned against. And I don't know about you, but this is an easy trap to fall into. It's easy to become so concerned about what people see on the outside that we get everything on the outside in order but neglect the inside. We can get so consumed with making sure that people look like, that two people, we look like we have all of life together, while inside we're hurting and broken and miserable. Maybe some of us have known someone who has fallen into this trap. And maybe you've seen other people fall into this trap. And because people have fallen in this trap, you've decided to take the no thank you approach to relationship with God and connecting with the church. And if that describes you, I get it. I understand. Because when we asked earlier about who would say they were put off by people who say one thing and do something else, my guess is that all of us affirmed that. All of us agreed. And so it's no wonder that as more and more people spend so much time focusing on the outside to the detriment of the inside, that it pushes people away from relationship with the church and relationship with God. Maybe some of us have fallen into the same trap. Maybe we've gotten so concerned about what everybody else thinks about us that we've kind of missed what God intends and what God thinks about us. Well, whether you know someone who's fallen into the trap or you've fallen into the trap yourself, whether it's our own experience or witnessing the experience of others, most of us have probably seen that at some point, living a double life catches up with you. And this is something that Jesus said happens as well. He said, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Jewish religious leaders exalted themselves above others, tried to give the impression that they were better than everyone else, and tried to make other people feel worse about themselves than they did about the Jewish religious leaders. And Jesus said that it will catch up with you. It may not happen today. It may not happen in the time frame that we wish or hope that it happens in, but it will happen. And then Jesus launches into what are called seven woes, seven statements about how this will eventually catch up, specifically with the Jewish religious leaders, with the intention of the crowd understanding that it would catch up with them if that's the life approach that they chose. Each of these statements, he starts with the phrase, "Woe to you." And then he goes on to describe ways that it will catch up with them. And after each and every one, he finds a label for the Jewish religious leaders. And he calls them hypocrites. He calls them a brood of snakes. He calls them blind guides, as in people who want other people to follow them where they're going, but they're going where you probably shouldn't wind up. And he calls them blind fools. And I don't know about you, but none of those phrases seem to be very flattering. And I would not want my life to be labeled and depicted as such. But when Jesus gives these woe to you phrases, he doesn't say woe to you who don't get it right. Instead, what he says is woe to you who don't get it right, but pretend you do, even when you don't. And on top of that, you expect others to get it right, whether you do or not. And the Jewish religious leaders not only assumed the role of interpreter, clarifiers, they also assumed the role of judge and jury. They took their interpretation and their clarification and they placed it on other people as their expectation. And Jesus said, "You do that, but you don't live the way you expect everyone else to do. And woe to you. This will catch up to you. Woe to you who live life one way while saying you live life another way." Jesus launches into these seven statements, and he directly goes to the Jewish religious leaders and to the crowd gathered there to say, living a life behind a mask will lead you fast to nowhere you want to be. And so here's a great question. What masks are you hiding behind? Where in your life is the outside appearance disconnected from the internal condition of your heart? In what ways are you trying to portray an image to people that isn't really who you are or who God wants you to be? I don't know about you, but I've been a little bit uncomfortable throughout this message. Because what I've discovered in this message is that Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy. And as I examine my own life, there are areas that makes me really, really uncomfortable. But as uncomfortable as I've been, I've also lived or experienced a great deal of hope. Because just as Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, he has unlimited grace for people who are willing to drop the mask. Now, dropping the mask isn't always an easy thing to do, because dropping the mask requires exposing who we really are. And sometimes, especially for people who focus so much on what everyone else thinks about them, dropping the mask is difficult because we are concerned and we wonder, what if I drop the mask and people see me for who I really am? What if I drop the mask and somebody no longer likes what they see and they realize that I don't have all of my life together the way it appeared on the outside? If that's your struggle, if that's your challenge, one of the things that we need to know is that there is no fear when there is nothing to hide. When you drop the mask and when we expose who we really are, there is no longer any hiding. And there is just the real us, raw in relationship with others and in relationship with God. And there is nothing to fear because we are no longer hiding. There is power in dropping the mask and living the kind of life that God intends for us to live. And there is incredible freedom in dropping the mask and living the kind of life that God desires for us to live. Living behind a mask carries its own set of challenges. But because Jesus has unlimited grace for people who want to drop the mask, there is incredible hope. Because when anyone who is willing to drop the masks goes to Jesus and says, "Redeem me, forgive me, heal me," the answer they get is always yes. Jesus would undo a double life of hypocrisy. But not only would he undo a double life of hypocrisy, but he has given us a path and a way in which we can drop the mask and lean into him and all that he desires for us. The invitation of Jesus in dropping the mask is an invitation to follow Jesus. And an invitation to follow Jesus simply means to do what Jesus did and to allow Jesus to undo what needs to be undone to do what Jesus would do. Let me pray for us as we close out our time together today. Dear God, thank you for this time. Thank you for these very, very strong statements from Jesus, who pointed the finger directly at some Jewish religious leaders of his day, but also communicated a tremendous amount of hope and grace for the crowd that was gathered there that day. And God, there are some of us who fall into the camp of the Jewish religious leaders. There are some of us who have chosen to approach life through hypocrisy, saying we are one thing while living another way, saying that we believe in certain things while living life completely opposite. And God, for any of us who have fallen into the trap of the Jewish religious leaders' approach to life, help us to drop the mask. Help us to call out to you and say, "Jesus, forgive me, redeem me, and heal me." And when you say yes, help us accept that answer. And God, there are some of us who have fallen into the camp of the crowd that we've gathered around. We're curious about Jesus, and we've heard this lively debate about what it means to live in right relationship with you. But there is this challenge of knowing what it really means to live a life aligned and hearts fully aligned with you. God, help us to practice what we're taught, and help us to be taught the right things. Help us to discover the right things about you, to get an accurate picture of you, and put those things into practice. God, help us to do what Jesus would do, and help us to allow Jesus to undo the things in our life that stand in the way of right relationship with you. Help us to allow Jesus to undo any hypocrisy in our life and to receive the unlimited grace that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.